Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
You're listening to Kaya Biz here on Kaya 959. Now, whenever we take a look at key state-owned entities in South Africa, we know that they play a critical role within our postal network, our rail and freight network infrastructure, our ports authority, and of course, when it comes to power. It's no secret. The three companies or sectors that I've mentioned, the South African Post Office, Transnet, as well as Eskom, certainly come to mind. But of late, what we have been seeing is a growing emergence of the private sector's participation within these three industries to essentially alleviate the pressure that the public sector has been under. Inspire efficient management, stringent financial controls, and positive and good governance, but most importantly, just to get the job done. For the most part, we've often seen some great successes when it comes to public-private partnerships in South Africa. But what more do we need to do, and how best do we need to analyze and oversee this particular partnership in order to make sure that success is inevitable? We're joined by someone who's worked in both particular spaces, a formidable leader who never holds back to tell us the truth. And that's exactly what we're looking to gain in this conversation tonight. The former CEO of the South African Post Office back in 2019 and formidable investment banker with more than three decades of experience within various capacities in the financial services sector, Mr. Mark Barnes. Such a pleasure to speak to you again, Mark.
How are you?
I'm excited to speak to you.
Great to be here, man. Yeah.
Fantastic. I guess, Mark, let's start off with, you know, just by getting an overview of, you know, a theme and an opinion piece that you had shared, essentially highlighting the critical nature of public-private partnerships in South Africa. And perhaps let's just get your reflections on how effective they've been and how best we need to capitalize on them.
Yeah, thanks. And thanks for your interest and good evening, everyone. I think, you know, I've had a lot of experience. My merchant banking days, I was head of corporate finance at Standard Merchant Bank, and it's interesting because, by way of analogy, one of the parts of that career was when everyone was divesting out of South Africa. Okay, General Motors, Wyeth Industries, IBM, Rank, Xerox, they were all because of sanctions and things of that nature. And we had to negotiate deals. General Motors was the biggest one I was involved in, where you had a reluctant but forced seller who, you know, and you had to cut a deal, and the deal was more important than who won the negotiation. And I think we have in Africa a pressing, urgent, and more importantly, valuable potential combination. Imagine a world where you have the power of the state, the capital of the state, the entrepreneurship of the business people, just for once, just for a while, kind of trusting each other that they're working towards a solution that is about the entity and not about their popularity or their relative representations. Okay, yeah. And that's what we need. And just to finish my introduction, that requires dispassionate objectivity and expertise in what constitutes a surviving deal. What is the right capital equation? What are the roles? Where do you have to defer to one another? Where do you need one another? And I'd argue that a minister for private-public partnership, not that there's space for any more ministers, but yeah, you know, but if we could find someone who could gather these people instead of arguing with each other but looking at the desk, then we'd make a lot of progress, and we need to.
100%. We definitely do. What I hear you describing is this beautiful amalgamation of the necessary skills, policy focus, and most importantly, execution that does come together from these public-private partnerships. Yeah. And as you describe this, Mr. Barnes, I sit back and I think 2020, COVID, we actually saw a culmination of a positive private-public partnership come together. And I'm keen to understand, again, as you call for, you know, a minister to oversee some of these themes, if there are lessons that we can learn from that particular experience to move forward with in the country. Yeah.
Well, the biggest lesson, take COVID, the biggest lesson is common purpose. We had a threat. We had a common threat. Okay, so we stopped worrying about. So, you know, when you've got a sore tooth, you don't look for the most popular person. You go to a dentist. Okay.
Yes.
Because, you know, you're not going to ask your friend that you like most to take your tooth out because he doesn't know what he's doing. Okay. And so we've got to go beyond our jurisdictions, our loyalties towards you know, what could we do about South Africa? And that requires common interest. And common interest must look beyond political parties. It must look to the solution. I mean, whether it's the post office or whether it's, you know, Transnet, we are going to need extraordinary combinations of local and international capital, extraordinary, dedicated, mutually respectful expertise if we're going to pull this off. And we can. I mean, I could give you a list tomorrow of 100 people that could sit across the table from another 100 people who are in government and go, close the doors, let's cut a deal.
Yes.
Okay. No TV, no T-shirts. Just let's cut a deal. And they'd emerge out of there. And that's what we're good at. I mean, and we're prepared to change. I always refer to sport. We had a terrible game against Italy a week ago. And then, Rossi came in and he changed the whole bloody team, man. Yeah. You know, he took 11 people out dispassionately, okay? And he said, okay. And then we beat them, like, easily, 45-0.
Okay? Exactly.
We want to be together, actually, more than we give ourselves credit for. We actually love each other, okay? And we celebrate the occasional coming togetherness. And let's, for goodness sake, do that. In all the discussions I've been, where there have been politicians present so far, the primary engagement is about relative power amongst politicians. It's a tit for tat. Someone wins and someone loses. Mm. Well, forget about who you were before you come in the room. Take off your colors, put on your common interest, mutual trust, and abilities hats, and let's cut a few deals.
100%. Yeah. I'd like to keep with that rugby analogy that you've mentioned, that within a week, Rassie Erasmus was able to make changes. And that's often the frustration that many players in the private sector have with the public sector. The B word, bureaucracy. You've experienced it. Vuyani Chakana experienced it during his time as SAA CEO. The list is endless. And I'm quite keen for us to actually understand, how do we need to navigate that, keeping in line with the policy and the framework, but also not being lost in the bureaucracy of it all.
First of all, we need to listen to each other. Okay. We don't. You know, businessmen and women are as much to blame as government, because we also think we know everything. Okay. Mm. And we don't. Okay. And what we need to do is, we need to say, what can you bring? What can you bring to the party? You know, you're organizing a lunch. If everyone just bought the pudding, there'd be no meat. Okay. Yeah. So you have to kind of go, like, okay, what is your role? Your role is to give us legislative empowerment, is to give us international kind of say-so or protection if that's required, and to bring the law to bear to enable the business environment. Okay. And ours is then to deliver the expertise, which we've self-evidently got if you're at the table. And then the final cake is baked when we go, who should take this forward? And it's not us that brought it there. It's who's next. Who are we building this for? Who's the under 20, 10, 10, 10, 10, be the Springboks one day? Because that's what we should be thinking about. There are too many old people sitting around, okay? Too many people that are carrying too much baggage, okay? That have got too many preconceptions, that are too scared to step out of their comfort zone. So I'm saying this. The deals to be cut, which, if you gave them to an independently experienced deal maker, not a politician, not someone who's got an audience to attend to, but who's someone who's got a deal to attend to, and you sat with them and you said, what would you do? And then you go to government and you say, this is what we think should work. I think you'll find intersection there that's been absent for too long. Mm. And then government's got to stand next to you, almost arm in arm. I mean, literally arm in arm, and go, like, we figured this out for you guys. Mm. Okay. And we're going to do it together. And I've seen it happen in practice. I saw it at the post office. I saw it. I fell in love with that place. We did things.
I could tell you wanted to do stuff differently. All these courier companies and deliveries companies, you know, you wanted to really shift the journey.
Yeah. We went down and listened. I went to Kyle to the post office and said to Kyle, what? I'll tell you a lovely story. I went there and said, what's wrong? He says to me, boss, or CEO, as they used to call me, he says, the trucks are too big.
Too big?
I said, oh, really? He said, well, you know, what was really happening is that 3 years ago there'd been a strike and the turnover had dropped, but the size of the trucks hadn't changed. So the unit cost of... And so if he was from Harvard, he would have said, we've got a logistics optimization scheduling problem. But he wasn't. He was from the ground. Yeah. And he said to me, boss, the trucks are too big. And I said to him, okay, let's change the trucks. And I said, how long has that been? 3 years. And I said, and why haven't you done it? He said, not my department. I said, let's take the wall away. Okay.
Empower the
employees. That's what we need to do here. Take the boil up. Listen to the people who have to do it every day. They know much more than we think.
Yeah, definitely.
Because they interface.
Exactly. What I'm also quite keen about, you're quite right, you have fallen in love with the post office, and I'm glad you have. Because there have been certain developments. Just earlier this past week, if I'm not mistaken, we did see that they are expected to get a capital injection in the short to medium term from the Minister of Communications. Just when you look at the post office, Mr. Barnes, I can imagine there's so many levers, so many opportunities. The business case does make sense. But if we take a look at some of the infrastructure right now, destroyed.
It's been destroyed. I mean, it's been almost beyond believable, the pace of destruction in the last 5 years, and it's all out there. I'm not making this up. This is government numbers, but it's still commercially irreplaceable footprint. It still can be the channel of access to the broader population of South Africa to anything, ranging from education to Wi-Fi to retrovirals to community halls to places where you can go read a book to where you can get your passport, where you get paid your social grant, all of that stuff. It can be a place which is already physically amongst the people of South Africa, which can gather them and give access to things which are now in very special places but not broadly based. So it's got that, but it needs us to... We need to look beyond, the money that it can be funneled through and all of that nonsense. I don't even want to go there. I get angry, man.
I completely understand. Very passionate about it. Very passionate about it.
But we can do it. But I promise you we can do it. I've met enough people in government who, when we walk out of the meeting, say, we can do this. Eh? I've met enough people who do that when we're sitting quietly outside of the glare of public opinion, when we're trying to actually make something work. We can hug each other, it's easy.
And get the work done. On that note, what are your thoughts on Transnet and their operation so far?
Well, there seems to be an open-mindedness there that wasn't there before. Now, whether that's as a consequence per force of the circumstances that they find themselves, or whether that's at the initiative of the minister or the people involved or whoever it is, but it's there. There is, people are starting to say, and I hope it's not just because it's desperate. I hope it's because they're eager to do it, not just because they have to. There is an open-mindedness developing across a number of key SOEs which says, why don't we try passing the ball, The prop can't score a try, man. Doesn't know how to run, okay? He gives it to that skinny little oak at the end, and he runs and he scores. We need to pass the ball if we're going to score the tries or the goals. I mean, in soccer, they used to give bonuses to the guy who scores the goal. Now they give a bonus to the assist.
See what you mean. Exactly. Mr. Barnes, I don't want to let you go. I feel like you have such a wealth of knowledge that we all need to learn from as South Africans. But as you say, to enhance public-private participation and partnerships, we actually do need perhaps a body to oversee this in the form of a minister. But there are other ways of enhancing this partnership. Because you've been on both sides of the fence, I'm quite keen for you to call out not the ills, but the lessons perhaps that we need to correct on both the public sector. What can we do differently there in terms of leadership and implementation, but also business, as you've called out? We also have our own flaws there. So what needs to shift there?
Well, first of all, we have to realize that when it comes to an SOE, it's not just one set of rules. It's a merger of sets of rules. So, for example, in the post office, you had the universal service obligation where you're required to deliver post, even if there's one little post box down there in somewhere in the Karoo. Well, okay. But there was a right for that was given in exchange, which is that we could only do one kid. Then you had Postbank, which was licensed by exception. Mm-hmm. So it could take deposits from the public, and it was guaranteed because those deposits were guaranteed by National Treasury. That doesn't require a banking license per se. It was different. And so you had all of these enablers of the state, which said, here's an infrastructure. You can go and put your money in there. It's safe. We don't have to oversee the risk management because the post bank is not allowed to do anything else than put the money in a money market.
Exactly.
And then and then there's an international positional perspective to this all. We're all part of a big in regard. So, and I think it is, but when someone has demonstrated the experience of how to put together a funding model then invite them in and listen. And when someone else has put together the experience of how you dispense a product in an informal settlement, call her in and ask her how. Okay. And then marry her localized capacity with your technology and capital.
Got you.
And we will create some extraordinary successful human beings, and we'll make them ourselves out of each other.
100%. 100%. It's that Harvard Business School analogy that speaks right down to the operational expertise and
capital. They know. This guy knew better than anyone. I brought him up to the strategic conference from his little post office. I said, you come and tell us.
I love it.
And he did. Okay, and because he knows, he does it every day.
Yeah.
You know, he had this funny accident. CEO, the trucks are too big, man. And I said, okay, come and show me. And listen, and I'll tell you something about us. We laugh easily as South Africans when we start listening to each other and we start believing in each other, because we've got no one else, man. We've just got each other. Mm. Okay. And we can't do without each other. There's no one survivor. There's no winner takes all. There's all have a bit of some.
Yeah, 100%. Okay. Grow the
That's
pie.
What you've got.
More to distribute, and everyone is able to participate.
And the mood is there. And by the way, we're also gutful, okay?
Indeed, we are. We've been resilient.
We've had
enough
of you oaks. Of the powers that be protecting their, you know, shortcomings or what their political agendas. You're going to say, look, then drop all your pose, man. Close the door. No one's listening. How can I help you?
So on that note, what do you make of the GNU? Are we making progress?
It's better than not, okay? It's the GNU is better than a not GNU. But for the most part, I see tit-for-tat politics. I see the GNU participants talking about each other more than they talk about the issues on the table. Mm-hmm. So you go, what about this? And they say, well, those oaks said this, and I don't believe these guys, and who do they think they are? And no, we didn't ask you about each other. We asked you what you thought of the issue at hand. Okay. What do you think of this problem? And if and again, I think we've got to say, we're not really interested in one another. We're not interested. We want you to focus on the problem at hand. Now, I tell you what we're missing is a few successes. We're missing a few stories, okay? And I promise you, hey, I get goose flesh when I talk about this, man. We made some stories there by the post office, okay? We had some successes,
yeah.
Okay? That's all you need, some evidence that when we hold hands, we're better together than we were apart. And then if you had a minister overseeing the authenticity, the objectivity, the economic resilience of these equations, which have to come together at clumsily at first, but of necessity in the end, and you say, okay, we've put this cake in the oven now. Okay, we're not sure. But we've mixed it. We found all the ingredients. Maybe there's a bit too much sugar, but we're okay. And then when it comes out, we slice up the cake and we eat it. Then we'll bake another cake, okay?
100%. From the lessons
that's
that we've learned.
That's how it's going to work.
100%. Mr. Barnes, unfortunately, we've run out of time, but on a lighter note, you've worked in banking.
It's been great talking to you.
You've worked for an SOE. When are you coaching rugby? I'm teasing. I'm pulling your leg.
No, a man must know his limitations. Catch rugby.
I love it.
Thank you so much. It was such fun talking to you, man. It's obvious, isn't it? The stuff's all obvious, man.
It is.
We all want it, actually. We're all gutful of not liking each other. We finished with that game already.
100%. Oh, Mr. Mark Barnes, always a pleasure speaking to you, sir. Thank you so much for your time. Yes, truly appreciate it, and we'll touch base soon.
Thank you.
That's Mark Barnes, the former CEO of the South African Post Office and an investment banker with more than 35 years of experience within the financial sector of South Africa. Really giving us a refreshing but stern and important perspective around public-private partnerships, and essentially saying South Africa could do with a minister of public-private partnerships to oversee the implementation of the solutions that we bring forward. We make it happen. We've done it before, but now we just need a level of following through with the actions that we have. But share your thoughts. 063-688-0959.
Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.